Welcome to the Supernatural Childbirth Mamas podcast. This is a place for you to come hear testimonies of other moms who are believing for supernatural childbirth, have already had a supernatural childbirth. This is just the place for you to come be refreshed, hear testimonies, and have community. Moms, we have a Facebook group now. You can search for Supernatural Childbirth Mamas in groups on Facebook. Come join us. We want to have community. We want for you to have a place to not feel alone and have other like-minded mamas. We are having meetups once a month, and my goal and my heart is to build a community around this topic, but mostly around our relationship with the Lord and walking out this faith walk of being a mom and having a supernatural life as a child of God and as a follower of Jesus. So I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to dive into today's podcast.
Hi, Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. This is Katie, and I'm so glad you are joining us today from wherever you are at. We are glad you are here. Today, I'm excited to be interviewing first-time mom Brittany as she shares the birth of her daughter. Despite hurdles, she and her husband were able to keep their peace and not make rash decisions. I hope this ministers to you as much as it ministered to me. So, let's get to it. Brittany, are you there?
I am.
So glad for you to be here. And Brittany's story, I know, is going to encourage all of you ladies and minister to you. But first, before we dive into her story today, Brittany, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Brittany. My husband, and his name is Will. Him and I have been married 4 or 5 years, almost 6. And we were together 5 years before we got married. So been together a while, and we have 1 14-month-old, and we live in North Carolina. We're youth pastors. We've been moving more in an associate pastor role, so that's been exciting. And yeah, so we just love doing ministry. I'm feeling honored to speak on the podcast today.
Yes, we're so glad for you to be here. Before we dive in, I'm going to just pray over this podcast, and if that's okay with you, and we'll just dive in. Does that sound good?
Great.
Okay. Lord, I just thank you for Brittany and her family, Lord, and the testimony that she is willing to share and bring glory to your name, Lord. I just speak over this entire podcast recording today, and anyone that hears it, Lord, that it will just minister to them, and that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be truly acceptable unto you, Lord, and just that her story and everything that is shared today will just magnify you, God. We just want to magnify you, Lord, and magnify the goodness of you, Lord, that we will see the salvation of our God, that the women that this story touches, they will see that you are the Lord and Savior, and you are their Father, and that you just want to love on them. So I just bless Brittany, and I bless her mouth today, and I just bless all the ears that are listening, Lord, that their hearts are softened, and they will receive from you, Lord. Just receive in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Brittany, could you tell me about the backstory of the time before you were pregnant?
Absolutely. So, like I said earlier, my husband and I dated for 5 years before we got married, and we kind of felt like we wanted to wait a few years into marriage. So we said we were going to wait 5, and I made it 3. So actually, on our 3rd year anniversary, the exact date, I just told him I'm really ready to have a baby. And so it took him about 2 days to get on board with me, which was awesome. But we had just always kind of planned, or I guess I hadn't really thought about it, just a standard hospital birth. Thought everyone should get an epidural, didn't really know much about supernatural childbirth. I just thought you go and you have your baby and you leave. But we started trying right away. So the month after our anniversary. And it was so funny because that first month I told one of my friends I was pregnant. Like, this is how little I knew about pregnancy or anything. I was telling them I was pregnant, and they said, "How do you know?" And I said, Well, because we're trying, and I've never been on birth control, so why wouldn't I be pregnant? You just get pregnant. So in my mind, you just get pregnant when you try. And my mom explained to me lovingly, and I'm 30 years old, by the way, so that's just, how little research I had done. And so my mom lovingly told me it didn't work that way, but I didn't listen. And the first month we didn't get pregnant, I was devastated. I just, I was just so sad. But then I thought, we'll just try again, of course. And so it was a few months. And of course, every month, it's always hard for me to say that because for us, it took 4 months to get pregnant. And I'll get to that, but we did actually have a miscarriage with that baby. But it's hard for me to say that because I know some women try for a year. So being sensitive to that, but it was, it's just so sad when I always wanted to be a mom. Mm-hmm. I told my husband that from, before we got married. I was like, I want to be a mom and I want at least 4 kids, maybe more. I want a big family. And I have one sister and we're so close, and Will has, lots of siblings. So I just love the big family. And so anyways, once I thought, okay, we're ready to have a family and we weren't getting pregnant, it was just super hard. So then because of that, I had a friend introduce me to Supernatural Childbirth, which my pastor had told me about the book, but I literally said, I can't read that right now, because I thought it was mainly just about no pain in childbirth. And mm-hmm. It was just too hard to think about being pregnant when I wasn't getting pregnant. But then they said, no, like, there's prayers over conception and miscarriage and everything. So that's how I got turned on to Supernatural Childbirth, which was just awesome to be able to mm-hmm. pray those things over our time of trying to conceive and getting pregnant. And like I said, we did lose our first baby. And then we got pregnant very quickly after, which was kind of wild. I didn't even have a cycle in between.
Oh, wow.
Losing that baby, I just I talked with a midwife, because during our first immediately when we got pregnant, I'm like reaching out to a midwife. She was a friend of mine, and she was able to walk me through that, which was great. But yeah, so that's how I got turned on to Supernatural Childbirth, was just trying to conceive. Mm-hmm. And that was just awesome. And so it was good to be able to take that, obviously, into my pregnancy. And I was, I think, if I can jump right into this, unless you have another question, can jump into how we got pregnant with Jolie.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right before we hop in, it got me curious. Like, I think this would resonate with so many women, because, you experience the loss of a child, but then you mm-hmm. also got pregnant really quickly.
Yeah.
And in the midst of that, like, how did you, like, in your faith and just processing in your heart, just balancing, like, in your heart, like, knowing that God is good and not, like, being afraid as you're pregnant with your second one, and not fearing loss, again.
Yeah. So I'm glad you asked me that, because I, my personality is I like to know answers, and I really dug into the Word, and I found some other people who talk about pregnancy and childbirth. I've heard some of your other moms who have been on the podcast talk about Nerida Walker, and she probably changed my life, her teachings. And so, when I got pregnant with our first baby, oh my gosh, we were so excited, obviously. And I immediately was afraid I would lose the baby. And my sister has had 2 miscarriages, which have no correlation, it's not in the family or, but for some reason in my head it was. And I, where I am today is much different where I was 2 years ago when all this started, with my walk with the Lord. And I think we're always growing, of course. And I had a pretty stable foundation then too. But man, I was just so afraid. And so what happened was, it was a few weeks after I got a positive test that I started to have some spotting. So we went to the midwife I was talking to at the time. She sent me to an urgent care, just a local. She was like, just go to any local urgent care. She said, I don't think anything's wrong, but I think if you had an ultrasound, make you feel better. So we went in, and the doctor was just so mean. I mean, he just came in. He was like, well, you're losing your baby. Like, just so, oh, wow. Like, and our faces, you know, just dropped. Like, how can you be so just, not even rude, just so blunt of something. So, you know, I mean, I was like really fired up. So we got in the car, we call our pastors. We were like, we condemn that word. And we were just so angry. But I, being honest, I think I just stayed in so much fear. And I don't want this to come across the way of like blaming myself. I don't blame myself, but I think my fear prevented me from getting like my healing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
You know, Narita has this like beautiful series on, you know, don't blame God. And that's when I really learned like, this is not God's will for my baby or my life. And I had a lot of people, like more than I can count, say to me when I lost our baby in a comforting way of like, well, maybe God knew something that we didn't. And I would just say, like, what does that mean to you when you say that to me? I wasn't trying to be harsh, but I said, what do you mean by that? Yeah. Like, well, maybe he knows something. And I said, like, what? Is there going to be something wrong with my baby? Like, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And so I knew, like, God's will for that baby was to live. And Amen. It didn't happen. And I did, you know, lose the baby. And I, like I said, I'm not blaming myself. Like, oh, I was so afraid, so I had a miscarriage. I don't believe that. I think it was an attack. And I think I know, you know, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by a stripe I was healed, and by his stripes my baby was healed.
But I couldn't get there because I was so afraid. Yeah. And, you know, my pastor always says, like, fear is the enemy's inroad to your life. Like, you know, Satan can't do anything without our permission in a way. And with that fear, I kind of gave him permission to, you know, bring this attack. Or it could have just been, you know, sometimes it is the enemy, sometimes it's like something that's, you know, we live in a fallen world and people get sick and things happen. But I, you know, I believe it was God's will for that baby to live. And
yes,
but I'm saying all that to say it taught me so much going into this pregnancy with Jolie, because I just, the minute I got that positive, and it was so quickly after, I mean, we must have conceived her 10 days after we miscarried. It was very quick.
Wow.
And, you know, we felt that was a personal decision also, because the midwife I was talking to, she said, I really don't think you should try to get pregnant right now. It's, you know, very traumatizing and all this stuff. And I just prayed, and Will and I felt peace about moving forward. So, we, you know, we did, and like I said, we must have conceived her, but I wasn't even going to take a test, because I just felt like, I don't want to keep, I did test down, because the urgent care did tell me, to do that, like, make sure you test, like, to make sure you're getting a negative, that all the HCG is out of your body, so I did do that. So I know for sure, when I, did test, I was like, oh, I am pregnant. But I just basically told Will, I will back myself into a corner. Like, I will not lose this baby. Like, obviously a she now, but he or she will live, and it's the Lord's will for her. So what I did, it's just super practical, but I took any verses on fear and I just put them on my walls, and I put them on my mirror. And because I believe, you know, it's funny, I actually was able to preach at our church on this a few months ago, but I believe in declaration all day long. But if you don't know the word behind it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's kind of pointless. Like, we're just saying empty words. And so for me, I had spent 28 years of my life, and I would just say, well, I declared it and it's not working. And this
actually, like, really opened my eyes to, like, oh, I need to, like, believe the word. Yeah. Not just declare it and say it out in the atmosphere and hope it works. Like, it's actually for me. Like, the declaration helps me. And I do believe in it. And I'm just saying there's a balance between declaring, but also, like, actually knowing and believing and meditating on what the word says. So yes. Practically speaking, I just would put verses, you know, on overcoming fear and anxiety, and just healing, you know, like, I knew my body was healed, my body was meant to carry this baby, that my baby was going to be perfect, and I just meditated, you know, like I said, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed, by his stripes my baby is healed, you know. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And I would say that over myself. And like when fear would creep up, and it did, definitely did, I would just immediately out of my mouth say no. Like I would take my thoughts captive and say, and there were a lot of times in the first few weeks, I would call my husband. I would just say, I really, you know, he would be at work. So I really need you to get an agreement with me. And we would just agree. And, we would just cast out fear, and I would just think on good things, you know, the word yes. talks about that. But I think sometimes, you know, we kind of expect God to take away all of our feelings on a situation when he's like, I've given you my word.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
you
right.
meditate on it. Like you take control, you know, you take captive your thoughts, you think on good things. And so that's what I did. Because it, yeah, I mean, it's very, very hard to lose a baby. It's very hard to process through that. And it's very hard to get pregnant after that and not have that fear. So for me, it was almost like that verse about the violent take it by force is how I felt in my mind. I'm like, I will not. Like, I am standing on this. I will not lose another baby. So I kind of carried that through my whole pregnancy. And I really had to be careful, too, of just like, like I kind of started to be like, well, I need to go have an ultrasound, and it would just be for no reason. And I would think, mm-hmm. no, you know, like, Nerida talks about a lot of, she says, you know, you've got to get to a point where it doesn't matter how you feel or what you see. It matters what the word says. And amen. I would remind myself that so much, like, okay, I don't need to go like get out the Doppler. I don't need to go have an ultrasound. And it is a really weird feeling, you know, being pregnant and not being able to feel the baby, having no, like, I didn't really expect that for my first, you know, however many weeks before I felt her moves. I guess it was 16 weeks, because you're like, I guess I just have to trust that this is working.
Yeah.
And also, I did want to mention this. It was something that I struggled with for sure in my first trimester, because I was actually very sick. It's funny because I never threw up, but I was just so sick, like everything made me sick. And then if I would eat, I would feel, you know, like I was going to throw up, but then I couldn't eat and nothing felt good. It was just such a weird thing. And I was knowingly like not believing against that, because everyone tells you like a sick pregnancy is a healthy pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look back and think like, man, I caused myself, and I don't think I caused myself to be sick, but I think I could have believed better for that time. But I just almost felt like it was comforting. Like, oh, this must be a healthy pregnancy because I'm so sick.
Oh, yeah.
So that was another
thing, like going forward in my next pregnancy, I know I don't have to be sick. There's no correlation between sickness and a health, you know, that maybe that's what they tell you naturally, but mm-hmm. I never want to feel like that again. So it was so, you know, horrible. And that's just something I'm definitely going to be believing for my next pregnancy, and know that, like, sick or not sick, the word says my baby is healthy. The word says I am healthy, and that, you know, by his stripes I was healed. So those were all things that came up that I feel like I had to just constantly, you know, take control of my thoughts, you know, mm-hmm. and just focus. And honestly, you know, I don't know that this is something you can do every day of your life, but when you're going through something that's really hard, all I did was I would just listen to worship or listen to sermons and podcasts. And it's just, you know, really practical. But all I did was just put good things in my mind all day long. And so that's, you know, that's kind of how I overcame it in a practical, you know, in a practical way. And of course, my husband being in agreement with me, my pastor was praying over me and walking with me as well. But I just constantly meditate on the word.
That's so good. Like, it's such a good reminder of putting faith in action, you know, even like when you, however you're feeling, that it's that faith, you know, that faith in God's word that will trump everything. And renewing your mind. And even like for most, like, what's wrong with a Doppler scan? You know, like, it's like, there's nothing wrong with a Doppler, nothing wrong with a test. You know, it's like, why am I getting this test?
Right.
And is it based on fear? Or is it based on this like faith and peace and assurance? You know, like, how are you basing the decision? And I think that's such a good reminder for anything that we do in life. Where is it stemming from?
Because I did use the Doppler. I did had ultrasounds, and like you said, there's nothing wrong with it at all. But for me, you know, like, I, in between, especially before I could feel where I move, I would tell Lily, do you think we could just go pay to have another ultrasound? And it was out of fear. And he would say, no, Brittany, like, she's okay, you know, we are okay, everything, you know. He would talk me down from it and just remind me of what the word says. So you're right, like, there's nothing wrong with it, but what's your motive behind it?
Yeah. Yes. So I know you kind of hinted on it a little bit. I don't know if you want to jump back into it, do you want to go into telling us how you found out you were pregnant?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was funny. It was very quick. We must have conceived her about, you know, 10 days after we miscarried. But it was probably 5 or 6 weeks after that, after conception, that I even tested. 'Cause I just was like, no, there's no way. And also I just kind of heard the Lord say to me, probably don't test every day, because that was something that was causing me anxiety. And you know, I don't want to contribute to my own problems. So finally I just told Will, I said, do you think it's strange that, you know, I haven't had a cycle yet? And of course he doesn't know much about it, you know, but he said, I don't really know, but maybe you could take a test. And so we just took a test. It was positive, very positive. It was just kind of sweet, because the first time when I tested for our first baby, I was alone, and then I surprised him, which I don't regret doing at all. It was very sweet. But this was also kind of sweet, just us being together in that moment. We were both a little in shock because it was so quick after, but yeah, so it was a sweet little moment for us to be together and find out that way.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I did the same thing. Yeah. You know, it's like, even on the unplanned, you know, not putting something together, it's still that heartfelt, you know, that heart connection.
It's so sweet.
So can you tell us about your pregnancy? Like, how did that go? Did you, like, face any battles, and how did God meet you in it?
Yeah, so I definitely, like I said, this being sick was a huge issue. Also stayed very dehydrated. I mean, everything just made me feel awful for the first 12 weeks. My midwife, I went through a few. I am in North Carolina. So just to back up for a second, but we had only had a few weeks pregnant with our, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, maybe, knowing I was pregnant with our miscarriage. And I had told my husband, I think I want to have a home birth. And he just was like, are you kidding? There's no way I'm having a baby at home. And so we spent a few days going back and forth about it. And we have a friend who he goes to church at the church we were previously at. He said, well, we can talk to her, but it's not going to change my mind. So I said, okay. So we talked with her and didn't really change his mind, but he made him a little bit more open to it. And so I told him after,
I very lovingly said, I don't want to, it's not good enough for me. So I need you to pray about it and you can do your own research and then come back to me. So he did, and he came back and he was like, okay, like I actually think this could be kind of nice. So so that's how we chose to have a home birth, even though we are in North Carolina, it's actually not legal.
Yeah, I do.
So there are a few midwives who will do it. So I found one who did, and she's awesome. And so she had us meet with an OB first, just because it was so fast, the two, between the miscarriage and the pregnancy. And the OB was like, everything looks great. So we moved forward with my midwife, and my midwife at one point told me, she was like, hospital to get an IV if you don't drink water, like you are so dehydrated. I was like, it makes me sick. And she said, I don't care, like you have to drink some water. It just, everything made me sick. So that was a huge battle for me. And I know I said a little bit about it earlier, but looking back, it was for me the fear, and it just felt comforting. And I do believe next time I can go into a pregnancy without having any sickness. Like I refuse to be that sick next time.
Yeah.
And just knowing, you know, again what the word says. So that was, you know, that was a thing. I had a pretty healthy pregnancy. Other than that, I'll talk about this, you know, later on when I get to my birth story, but I did develop preeclampsia at 39 weeks and 5 days. So I will talk about that a little bit more with my birth story. But other than that, I mean, I really had a great pregnancy. I mean, I did go into it with the mindset of like, I know how, you know, I've heard, especially people when you're pregnant, they're like, oh, just wait until you get to the end. And they're just so negative, like so exhausting and this and that. And I just really was very conscious of that. Like, I didn't want to be one of those pregnant people who no one wanted to be around.
Yeah.
You know, and just like, I wanted to enjoy it. I mean, realistically, how many times do you get that in your life? So, I wanted to enjoy it and just, I spent a lot of time with the Lord. I wasn't working. I was working at my church part-time, just, 2 half-days a week at the time. But, so I just got a lot of time at home, spent with the Lord. It was just, it was really, really nice. It was a good pregnancy.
That's good. Like, I'm sure, since you had that time, like, what was the Lord speaking to you and like in that, in your quiet time with him?
That's a good question. It's funny, I pulled out my notebooks last night and to kind of prepare for today and just look at what the Lord said to me during that time. I heard the Lord say a lot just about our family structure, and, you know, both of us come from divorced homes and have only really ever seen divorce in our families. All of his grandparents are divorced. His parents are divorced. They first were never married. Then they both got married, got divorced. And my parents are divorced. And, you know, I just heard the Lord, like, it was weird because obviously we've been married, you know, at the time, almost 4 years. And that was just not something that ever crossed my mind. But then, like, when you bring a child into the world, the Lord just was really speaking to me, like, this is the time, like, you guys are really breaking how this, like, how your family tree is going forward. Like, you're the first, you know, in your families to really see this, I don't know, like, I don't want to say a normal family, that doesn't sound right, but more of, like, a, you know, everyone's in the home, like, we're staying married, our kids are in our home, they're yes. going from house to house. Like,
the way God made
you know,
it.
Right, the way God intended it. And so I heard the Lord say a lot about that, and just our future together, and definitely I heard the Lord speak to me a lot about my birth. Things did not go, you know, as according to plan, do they ever with birth. They're all a little bit different, we think they'll be. But the biggest thing the Lord said to me that I kept coming across when I was looking last night is, your birth will be peaceful. Mm-hmm. And I really stood on that. And, you know, Will and I'll talk about this more later, but we really fought for peace with our birth. And I made that very clear, you know, to my mom, to my sister. I said, whoever's here, you have to be at peace.
or you cannot be here, you know, kind of thing. Like, and I said it very, you know, lovingly, of course, but I said, we, you know,
something that we really have learned, my pastor says this a lot, but a righteous man never gets in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the past, like, well, I'll say a year now, the whole time we were pregnant, any decisions, anything that came up, we would just say, okay, like, we're going to slow down. We're going to make this decision out of peace, and not out of a hurry. So that was a huge thing. I mean, it was funny because I did hear the Lord speak to me about other things, like a lot of other things when I was pregnant too, not just my birth, but the overall theme seemed to be like the year of peace for me, which is funny, you know, coming out of this huge thing of fear right before that. And so I just kept hearing the Lord say that every day, like, you just need to be at peace, just be at peace, just be at peace. So I really, you know, like the Bible says, like, the only time it says to strive is to strive to enter into rest. And that was really what I did during that time.
Mm. And what a reassurance, you know, like going into motherhood, you know, like, this is my year of peace. Like, even though you're like going through different challenges or obstacles you might have never faced before, you know, like, mm-hmm. this is my year of peace, like, mm-hmm. from my family and I.
Right. Right. That's so good.
So, jumping right into it, do you want to start off like around the time around 39 weeks?
Yeah.
And going into your birth story?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, we had planned a home birth and we were so excited. Love our midwife. Thankful for the few who will do it in North Carolina.
Amen.
and I even asked her when we interviewed, I was like, why do you do this? Like, you know, are you scared? She was like, no, I have to help women. Like, I just to help them. So that was awesome. I loved her so much. And just the care, you know, versus, mm-hmm. and I did develop preeclampsia and I'll get to that, but I experienced both. I'm like, midwives are just so good. Like, I am a huge advocate for, for that now. So at 39 week appointment, my blood pressure was a little high. And she was like, well, I think you're stressed out, because I am a pretty high strung personality. And, you know, just at the end of pregnancy, I was like, oh my gosh, this is wild. Like, how do you know when the baby's coming? You know, just all those thoughts. And
mm-hmm.
she said, just go home, take a long bath, take your blood pressure, call me. So I did. It was still high. And so she was like, okay, come back tomorrow. All of our appointments were on Mondays. My husband has Mondays off. So I had to go by myself the next day because she said, you've got to come back, like, if your blood pressure is that high. So I went back and she was like, Brittany, you have no symptoms of preeclampsia. I think this is stress. And she said, I really need you to, like, calm down, basically. And I just told her, I said, I really don't feel like I'm stressed though. And I didn't want to think it was anything else, but I just told mm-hmm. her, I don't think I'm like, I said, I know when I'm stressed out. And I do think I'm a little stressed, but I don't think I'm like that stressed. So she's like, all right, well then let's just take some tests. So she took my blood work and then put me on the 24-hour urine analysis, which is so miserable for like a pregnant lady at 39 weeks, because you're peeing in a jug every time you go to the bathroom, which is like in the middle of the night, and I was having to keep it in my fridge. Like, gosh, just was not fun.
Oh wow, didn't realize that.
Yeah, so basically, and also she put me on what she called like an emergency protocol as far as like my vitamins, my protein intake. She was like, I want you eating like an entire rotisserie chicken a day. Like, she was just like, we've got to get this, you know, worked out. So, and then she wanted me to drink at least like 100 ounces of water a day. So I was drinking a lot on top of being 39 weeks pregnant. And so you like take this jug, you have to pee in the jug, and then you put it in your fridge, which is disgusting. And then we had it like double bagged up in the fridge. And then I would have to go get it like 2 a.m. And of course, like, I was waking my husband up so he could go and get it for me on the off times. And anyway, so you have to do that for 24 full hours. So my blood work came back great. So she called me and she's like, okay, we're doing good. Like, this is fine. She was like, well, we'll just wait for the urine analysis. So that we got that back on Friday, and she called me, and I could hear it in her voice. I was like, oh no. And she said, your analysis is the worst I've ever seen. She was like, this makes absolutely no sense. You have no other symptoms. Like, I was looking back, I do feel like I was swollen, like when I look at myself now. But I wasn't like, looked like I was about to pop. Like, I've seen some preeclamptic women who look like they're about to pop.
But she said, I've got to get some, you know, help on this, basically. So of course I was just, kind of shattered by hearing that. Cause I knew that preeclampsia is one of the like few things that they do like to transfer for. And I do want to mention this. This was another thing that happened early in pregnancy. I had a friend who was super well-meaning, didn't mean anything by it, but she had a friend who actually died on the table from preeclampsia. And they were able to revive her, but she completely flatlined and has not had any children since. And so my friend told me, she said, you know, about this story with my friend, she said, please take this blood pressure cuff. Always check your blood pressure, like preeclampsia serious. I did not even know preeclampsia existed before she told me that. And like I said, she was very well-meaning, but I told my husband, I think I had that in the back of my head. I wasn't afraid to miscarry, but then I was afraid of preeclampsia. So it's just interesting that I look back over this pregnancy and see like how the Lord is showing me where my fear was and how I can overcome it in the future. So anyways, and also, I know I said at the beginning that I was very uneducated when it came to birth. So I spent my whole 9 months educating myself. In fact, I feel like I talk to all my friends about birth now because I just literally did so much research and listened to so many podcasts. So I knew when she told me that, like, your analysis was not good. I'm thinking, oh no, this is, could cause me not to be home. So she called a few of her midwife friends who had been midwives longer than her. One of them actually, this is so sweet, but we knew her from a previous church we had been at. She had been a midwife for over 20 years, and she was going to be at our birth. And she told me, she said, I have been a midwife for 20 plus years. I have never heard the Holy Spirit to tell me to be at someone's birth except yours.
Whoa.
And I was just like, oh, this is so great. So she was going to like assist my midwife, which we were so thrilled about. So she called and talked with her. My midwife called another nurse midwife who owns a birth center in our area. And then she called her partner OB, like she has an OB who she consults with. And of course the OB says, take her to the hospital right away. And so then the nurse midwife said, and the other midwife she consulted with, they both said we would try to naturally induce her. So before, you know, because if I went to the hospital, they're going to induce me, and I just did not want that at all. So she called and gave me those options. I'm crying. You know, I'm just... that's too much. And I said, do any of these options like equate to me being home? And she said, well, sometimes your blood pressure can come down when you go into labor, which weirdly enough, she said, so we'll try. She said, but there won't be really any room for grace, basically, like if something comes up, you're going. So she said, but call me back, like you don't have to make a decision right now. And again, I said earlier, like my husband and I were like, okay, we're gonna be at peace, like we're gonna pray, we're gonna see like, you know, what we feel like the Lord's saying, like what we have peace with. We talked with our pastors, and the midwife I just told you about who had been practicing for over 20 years, I called her and I said, if it was your daughter, what would you do, kind of thing. And my husband and I just really felt like we're gonna try to be home. You know, we're going to speak over my body. We're going to stand on the word. And if anything comes up, we will go. We won't be stupid, basically.
Mm-hmm. And our pastors, they said the same thing. You know, they said, we really feel like, you know, you guys, the Lord doesn't want you to be stupid, but we believe you're healed and everything. So my midwife said that's fine. So, but she did want me to go and have a biophysical ultrasound of the baby to make sure that she was fine. She said, if she's not fine, we're going. You know, like she just kept telling me, if this happens, we're going. If this, yeah, you know, we're going. So anyways, the next morning I took a midwife's brew. I don't know if you've heard of this. It is so disgusting. involves castor oil and definitely makes people sick. I did not get sick, but I also ate like a man. Like I literally, Will took me to Five Guys, which I don't even eat like that. And just, you know, trying to soak all of what was happening.
Yeah.
I just was like, I am not throwing up. So I took that in the morning. It's just the strangest mixture of everything. Of all of these different ingredients, but it worked. And so we went, it's like a smoothie. So I drank it at like 10 a.m. somehow chugged it down. He made me this huge breakfast. And then we had to go drive an hour. It was about 55 minutes to the biophysical because it's not something like just any ultrasound place will do. So about 55 minutes, we take this drive. Baby's great. Her water is good. Everything's fine with her. So then I'm thinking, this is great. Like, we're going to be home. We had already set up our room, too. We had, we live in an older house, so we have one of those houses. It's like a living room, and then they have another living room. It's like, yeah, a sitting room, I guess. So we had taken the furniture out of there, set the birth pool up, had my birth affirmations. He put lights up, did the whole thing. It was so exciting. And then we get in the car. Like I said, we went to Five Guys, so I wouldn't throw up. And let our family know, this is what's happening. We'll keep you updated. And then the minute we were on the way home, I am in labor. I told him, like, I might have this baby in the car. Like, it hit me so fast. And he was, of course, then he looked at me and was like, oh, my gosh. Like, first of all, baby's coming. Second of all, I have to get you home. Like, what do we do? And the contractions just, you know, first time mom, you don't really know what to expect anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I just really didn't know. I was like, what's happening? The contractions, they were happening really fast. So anyways, he got me home, and then when we got out of the car, I was like, okay, well, I don't feel them anymore. So maybe that was just because we were in the car. I wasn't really sure. We did call my midwife. She said, take a nap. So we both did. We took a nap, and then the contractions woke me up. And so my husband's like, all right, we're doing this. So he turned our birth playlist on the house. I had let my mom know, but she and my sister's 12 years older than me, so she's like kind of like second mom. So they just kept calling Will, you know, and he looked at me and said, just let him come. Like, you know, it's fine. I guess something's happening. So I was having contractions, but I will tell you 100% I was not in pain. Like, I knew what was happening. It was a lot of pressure. It's like everyone says, it's like a very hard workout. I definitely had to work through them, but I felt no pain at all. And so my midwife, Will, called her. He said, I think she's having, you know, contractions every few minutes. Maybe you should come. And so she came right away. And she was like, well, I'm also glad it's working. Like, maybe we can stay home. So when she got there, she looked at me and she said, okay, Brittany, by looking at you, I can tell you are in very early labor, but I do think you're in labor. And I was so discouraged because I was like, I'm working really hard and you're telling me I'm in early labor. What do you mean? She was like, you know, 3 or 4, and we had taken a 12-week birth class with her, so I knew what she meant, but I just didn't, you know, 3 or 4 centimeters, like, oh no. She said, well, let's just go check you if you're comfortable with that. I said, yes, I want to know what's happening. So she checks me and she looks at my face and she said, I've never seen anyone like you. What do you mean? She said, I can feel your water sag. Like, you're a 7, almost at an 8. She said, this is crazy. And I just told her, I was just honest that I am not in pain. Like, you know, the Holy Spirit's giving me, you know, I'm receiving a supernatural childbirth. And she just laughed and we, you know, moved on.
Yeah.
But I felt so encouraged. Like, okay, I can do this. Like,
the baby is, and she told me, she said, I think your baby will be here in an hour. This is happening very fast.
So I was so excited, thinking I'm definitely going to be home And I'm encouraged. Like, is this how labor's going? Like, it's kind of fun. I'm not in that much pain. Like, you know, I'm working through this.
So she checked my blood pressure with, like, the automatic cuff and then actually, like, doing it manually. And it was just so high. And she said, Brittany, I just am not comfortable. And it was like her and I looked at each other in this moment of, like, grief that she wasn't going to be delivering my baby. And Will was standing there. And my mom and sister were definitely freaking out at this point. You know, like, they kept, Will tells me after the fact, they kept saying, like, y'all need to go, you need to call it, do we need to call 911? And he just said, no, like, I'm going to only do what Brittany wants me to do. So I needed a minute to come to that conclusion of, like, okay, I'm probably not going to be home. So she said, let's get you in a bath, and that'll keep you stable, like, while we make a decision. And so they just, like, ran me a warm bath, and I sat there, and I just looked at her. I was like, I just need to go, probably. Like, I need to go to the hospital. I didn't feel any different, but I just knew, like, I don't want to be afraid. Like, I don't want to get into any fear here.
Yeah.
You know, and let these thoughts come up. I just need to go get the medicine that can give me what we need. But I honestly thought, it's so funny how, like, I'm having, because my plan was going as planned, I was feeling like I wasn't having any pain, like, okay, this, things are going right. But then the minute, you know, I got to the hospital, it just took me out of the game, because it was like, this isn't my plan. And anyways, my husband, my sister packed me a bag. It's so funny now to look back on, like, the most random things my husband put in a hospital bag. Like, when I got there, this is so silly, but I had, like, a matching sweatsuit that I bought to wear after, you know, like, from Aerie, just so comfortable. And I just,
do you think that's, like, what matches? It's not even, it doesn't even look the same, but Zad asked
him to get me that. But anyways, none of that matters. I did have her stuff together at least, so that was good. So we all get in the car, and my midwife pulled Will aside and told him, like, I need you to pull her inside the road if she feels like she needs to push. She was like, this baby is coming. And so he was like, okay, you know. And it felt like we were in a movie, because my midwife's in one car, my sister and mom are in another car, and we're in a car. And we're only 6 minutes from the hospital. Well, we pull out of my neighborhood, and there is, like, a four-car pileup wreck.
Oh, no.
And they have the whole road. And so my husband just starts going around it. So the cops, like, lay on the horn. They're like, stop, stop. Like, what are you doing? And he said, my wife's having a baby. And so, anyways,
they let us by. I mean, I just will never forget the way that cop looked. It was so funny, because he just, it was like it was out of a movie. So we go around the, you know, we get there. And when he pulled, like, he was pulled up to the front, and me and him got out, and they immediately were like, okay, this woman is about to have her baby. So they put me on the table, and Will had prayed on the way there on the very short drive. He said, Brittany, nothing has to change. We can still, you know, like, you can still be pain-free. And he said, we are going to have favor at this hospital.
Amen.
So we had, I will say, incredible favor with our nurses. I will never forget them. It was like God sent them to me. It was just so, it was so unreal how good they were. I mean, so they sat with me, and which is funny, you know, I had to kind of make up a story of where I was, because, and I couldn't tell them my midwife's name. She couldn't come in with me. I mean, because it's not legal, you know, in North Carolina. So that was pretty devastating, I think. I'm not gonna say I wish she was, you know, with me in the back, because I don't know how that would have went, like, with my midwife and the doctor and all of that, but
she just kind of had to give them my chart. So the doctor did not take to me very well. because, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not stupid, I know you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing. But he comes in, and the nurses had warned me. They said the on-call doctor is not nice. And
I was like, okay, like, I'm just seeing myself, I know I can do this, but this is really hard. I'm, like, praying in the spirit in my mind and just under my breath, just, okay, you know, trying to pump myself up. So he comes in just yelling,
at me.
Oh, no.
And he was like, you are so irresponsible. Like, how long? You are severely preeclamptic. How long have you known this? Who, like, why would anyone in the world do something so stupid? And so my husband said, okay, my wife is at an 8. Like, she's in full-blown labor. Please just talk to me. And he was like, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to her. So I'm like, okay, this is how this is going to go. But my nurses were so good. So it, like, made up for that. Mm-hmm. So, and I had very little interaction with him. So they took me back. They said to me on the way back, because they were kind of rushing, we know you wanted to be home. We are so sorry that you're not able to be home. We will do everything we can to, like, respect your wishes. And they were so good. Like, before they checked me, is this okay? Is this okay if we put you in this position? Like, how do you want to labor? They did all of that. And I was so thankful, because I just thought my only real, like, knowledge right now is on being home. So I don't know how to do this without my midwife coaching me. But I did know what I did and did not want. And I told them, you know, please delay cord clamping. I don't want any interventions, you know, all of that. Except I'm here for the medicine. I do want that.
Yeah.
So they put me on magnesium sulfate, which my wife warned me it will make you feel awful and it will slow down your labor. It's like, okay. Because, I mean, when we were at home, she thought the baby's coming in an hour. Mm-hmm. Well, the magnesium sulfate slowed down my labor 6 hours. And so it basically had me stuck between 8 and 9 centimeters for 6 hours.
Wow, so close.
So, that was, you know, it was painful. I will say, like, I don't look back and think how people say to me. And I think it's, you know, when people say, like, it was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. It was the most pain you'll ever feel in your life. I don't remember that. But I do remember being in pain. And I do believe it's because it was like it just took me out of the game. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like, my mind and my heart was totally at peace at home. I was able to focus on the Lord, you know, focus on my body, letting it do what it needed to do. And then at the hospital, it just felt like chaos and, mm-hmm. you know, just rushing in and getting in the, just all of it felt a little chaotic to me. But I feel like personally, Will and I did stay at peace. And we, like, really fought for that peace in the room. So our nurses were great. I was stuck for a while. The doctor came in and was like, I'm breaking your water. And I was like, no, you're not. I just was refusing everything. Like, nobody touched me. I don't know. It was a little hysterical. But so no, you're not. And he said, well, I'm trying to prevent you from having a C-section. I said, well, I'm not doing that either. He was like, yes, you are. Like, you're doing what I need to, you know, just, it was weird. It was like two kids going back and forth with each other. But so Will texted my midwife, said she does not want her water break. She said, and my midwife said, just let him do it. Like, it'll speed this up. So I let him, and it did speed the process up. So I was about ready to push. I think within 30 minutes after that, and I told them, I said, I don't want to be told to push. I want to tell you. So they respected that. But I did look at the nurse, and she checked me and said, okay, I do think you're ready to push, like you said. It, you know, maybe we'll push for an hour. And I said, an hour? Like, I will not make it that long. I need an epidural. And I was just like, you know, at that point, couldn't believe it. That was the first time I'd even been super vocal. And, you know, she looked at my husband, they looked at me, and they said, are you serious? You need an epidural? And I said, I don't know. Like, I just, an hour feels like a really long time. And, which now I know that's, like, standard, you know, to push. But at the time, it didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
So they both agreed, like, we don't, you know, we don't think you need it. And so I, you know, of course, I didn't get that. And they had, that they hadn't, like I said, at the time, they had done no interventions. He did break my water. And of course, they did put me on magnesium sulfate, which they actually had to come back in and they said, you know, it's just not working. So they put me on the highest dose they had, which I refused at first also for them to put me on a higher dose. Cause I just kept thinking, like, if this is going to make me feel as bad as you guys say it's going to make me feel, how will I have the energy to get my baby out? And then we'll have to have a C-section. Like, my brain was kind of, you know, rolling through all those things, but I allowed them to do it because obviously, like, I didn't want to be stupid. I mean, it can cause a seizure, you know, I mean, lots of bad things, preeclampsia. So I let them do it. And I did push for an hour, and I was so exhausted. They were right. I mean, that the magnesium sulfate made me feel like I had the flu, and I was just so tired. Mm. It was the middle of the night, about 12 o'clock. And then one of the nurses, she came in and she brought a mirror. And she said, she came and got my hand and she said, do you think you can, because I was sleeping between pushing. Like I would lay my head back and take like a 2 minute nap or something. Like I was that tired.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, do you think you can look? Because I can see your baby's head. Do you want to see? And so she helped me up. And that's one thing that did happen. I did push on my back, which I didn't want at all, but I was just way too tired to fight about it. You know, at the time, that was the one thing I really did not get. And maybe it wouldn't have happened, you know, but like I said, I just was like, I'm too tired. And I didn't express that to my husband either. Because at home, we just thought I would be in the tub or in mm-hmm. the pool. So he didn't know to like express that for me. So anyways, I pushed for an hour. So she helped me up. I saw my baby's head and I was like, she's getting out. That was all I needed. So I pushed and it was like one push. And I actually have it on video, like the whole thing. And which is funny because our doctor came in and told us he does not even allow phones in the room, which is only his policy, no one else's policy. So I'm like, I said, I can't take pictures of my baby. And he was like, no, not when I'm in here, not until I leave. So
what?
It was so silly. He just wanted to be a pain, I think.
Yeah.
So my husband like snuck in the phone and the nurses told him where to put it so that we could like still have everything. And so I truly did push one time and she just came like flying out, and the nurses did not call the doctor. So they caught the baby, they caught Jolie and not him. And he came in right after, which was awesome. And we had our birth playlist going. So she was born to I Love Your Presence.
Aww.
Right at that part that says I Love You Jesus, which was so perfect.
Aww.
And it was 1/21, and she was born on 11/21/21. So I love all the ones and twos. I pushed, she came out, and the doctor did come in after that, and everything felt very peaceful up until, you know, he came in and kind of ruined it. But I just remember thinking, like, this is the holiest thing I've ever done. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it just felt so peaceful, so holy. I just can't explain it other than that. And my nurses, both of them, they said, we've just never seen anything like this. They said, we love being at the few, they said, you know, natural births that we get to be at. They said, we love it. They were like, but you are just so peaceful. And it just was so fun to hear them say that, because that was what, like, I was believing for. Like, okay, like, things did not go as I thought they would. You know, there was some things that came up that preeclampsia certainly was not planning on that. But we remained peaceful. And
yes.
Some things happened after with the doctor, and, you know, it was a little, I don't like to use the word traumatic, but it was just painful. He ripped my placenta out, caused a lot of bleeding. So there was some things that, like, I kind of was just so, I mean, you know, that minute after you have your baby, you just want it to be you and your baby.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to focus on her, but I just looked at the nurse. I was like, I am in more pain right now. Like, what is happening? And so, you know, those were some things that kind of like took me out of the moment a little bit, but it was still just such a beautiful, like, holy experience. And I just look back and think, like, I get to do this a few times in my life, and I'm just so grateful that we were just, my husband and I, in agreement. We were at peace that, you know, she got to come into the world in, like, such a peaceful and beautiful way. And I still believe that it was supernatural, because I do know, like, even by the confirmation of my midwife being like, I didn't even hardly think you were in labor, you know.
Yes.
Like, okay, this is good, you know. And now I can look back and, you know, even if plans change, I feel like for next time, you know, I can just stay even more at peace, more focused on the Lord, and believing to be 100% pay-free next time.
And what I find so inspiring about your story, especially for first-time moms, like, even going in, like, you, before getting pregnant, like you said, you didn't know much at all about pregnancy mm-hmm. and birth, and that you educated yourself. I think that's such a key thing, like, for any mom, like, if you don't know what to, like, what could happen, like, that's where fear can creep in, right. And, like, you know what to pray against, you right. know, and pray for, and, right. Just be aware, you know, right. knowledgeable about the thing. And like another thing is like you and your husband like are such an example of like of a, being in agreement and being on the same page and not just like in the spiritual but also the natural too, like just communicating, right. you know, like this is right. what we're believing for and being a guard of that. Like, you know, I think it's easy. Especially when it comes to friends and family, like, to, like, allow anyone into your birth space. But mm-hmm. you're like, no, if you're not at peace, like, please yeah. Be honorable of this environment right. and right. guarding that atmosphere. Because mm-hmm. one thing that, like, even science will show, like, what we pick up on, like, it's easy for people to pick up on other people's fear,
right?
And vice versa, like, we can pick up on someone else's energy,
right? Totally,
of positivity or negativity. And you're like, you too were just like such a holding on to that piece, you just really guarded that. And it just like a story just exemplifies how, like, standing and firm in God's peace and just being under his shield. Like, I just see how the nurses, like, it's just like God's shield around you guys.
Yeah, totally.
And your baby. And it's just yeah. so beautiful.
Yeah. And I did, you know, since you brought that up, I did want to encourage other moms, you know, in this way of like, sometimes I think, you know, it can be one extreme or the other, like with some, like, if you don't know anything about supernatural childbirth, right? Like, I have friends who did zero research on anything, you know, mm-hmm. and they go in totally unprepared, and things, you know, happen that are out of their control. And then you have like moms who do believe in supernatural childbirth. So they just think, oh, like, I mean, I'm just having a pain and that's it.
Yeah.
No research, have no idea what's happening in their body. So then they go in and things start happening and they're like, oh, I don't, you know what I mean? So I feel like I encourage moms now, like, okay, I totally believe with you that you are not going to be in pain, but you have to educate yourself. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. know anything. I thought I was just going to get pregnant because it was our first time, you know, like actually trying without protection, basically. And now I'm like very educated on the system of birth in the hospital and what's happening in your body and the stages of, you know, stages of labor and, you know, all of these things, because they both partner together, the natural and the supernatural. And I think that's my part to play, you know, is to know, like, okay, I know what's happening with my body. I'm not just going to go and expect the Lord to do all the work.
Yes, because you would deliver.
Right. So I always encourage moms, like, please educate yourself. Like, read the books, you know, read the books, Supernatural Childbirth, do the research, like, stand on the word, but also know what's happening in your body. And, you know, even just like, I mean, I have friends who didn't know what induction, what it even is. And so I'm thinking, okay, just educate yourself on terms that's happening at the hospital. Like, make sure you know what they're saying so you can say, I do or don't want that. Like,
mm-hmm.
we tell you what we want, you know, instead of, you can make, you know, how I feel about birth is it's such a natural part of, like, of life. It's not a medical emergency, obviously. Mm-hmm. In my case, it may be a little bit more of a medical emergency, but they still, like, the nurses approached me like, is this okay that we do this? I mean, they wanted to give me Pitocin after to expel the placenta, and I said no. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, I want to nurse right away, you know, it's gonna produce contractions and then the you know, placenta will expel itself and everything. And I'm explaining that to them, and they were like, you're right.
Yep, hormones.
So, thank you. Hormones, yeah, going. Like, get the hormones going, everything. So anyways, that was, I want to bring that up since you said that, just, you know, educate yourself.
Yes. And like, I, like, just what, jumping off what you said, like, I just think the Lord, for, you know, he gave, we're made up as a three-part being, you know, mind, body, and spirit, you know, and, like, they are all connected, and we can't just do, like, everything in the spirit, or everything in the soul, or everything in the body, like, they are all interconnected and all influenced. Yes, the spirit is to lead the soul and the body, but we can't leave any of those out.
Yes, I agree, and I think, you know, friends who did go in that direction, you know, things can just, I don't want to say get out of hand, but sometimes it does in the birth world, kind of get out of hand if you don't know. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the Lord honors that in our life, is like, I'm going to do my part. And the Lord does his part.
Yeah.
You know, they partner together.
Yes. So, going forward, because you're educating me, myself, and anyone else, like, about preeclampsia, like, just because you were diagnosed with it once, like, does that mean in the future they're going to, like, diagnose you again?
So, my midwife said she has never had a second time mom have it. So it's normally a first time mom thing. I have seen, like, stories of people having it the second time. So what she said, because she's still, my midwife's awesome, she stayed at the hospital the whole time until I had the baby. Then she went home and rested, and she came back the next morning to the hospital, and she sat with me and did the check, you know, did our newborn check. And so I told her, you know, she told me how proud she was of me and everything, and that I did it without her, because I told her there's no way I was going to. But she said, next time, you know, there, so I don't know if any of, or if you've ever heard of this, it's called the Brewer's diet. And I believe it's like 90 something percent effective to prevent preeclampsia and gestational diabetes. So I did really well my first two, well, not really, I hardly did anything my first trimester, but my second trimester, probably up until 30 weeks into my third, of eating exactly on the Brewer's diet. And then I just got lazy. I really did. Like, I, in my head, closer to the end, I thought, I've made it to the finish line. So, like, I've, you know, I've done it. I don't know. It's such a weird way of thinking. It didn't make any sense, but just kind of got lazy. But I think next time for me, I'm going to eat, you know, definitely more. It's just a high protein diet. You also include citrus, milk. They want you to eat liver, which is, I'll probably take the capsules. I can't imagine eating liver. So anyways, I've told a lot of my friends, I have two friends who have gestational diabetes the first time around, told them about it. So I'm going to do my best to eat. And she told me she'd like to start me on some supplements right away just to be precautious. But she said, I can't imagine that you would, you know, have it again. But I am not going to have it again.
Yeah, I agree. We all agree with
totally
you.
Totally healed of that.
Yes.
That fear is, you know, gone. But obviously, like I said, I want to take the natural steps also to take care of my body, eat well for what I need. And I'll take any supplements that she wants me to take. I'm all for that. So,
yeah. So how did your postpartum go?
I think it went well. I mean, I really was believing God for that. I had a list of things. I had wrote a very extensive list of things, from pregnancy to our birth to what Jolie would be like and look like. And she's all the things that we had written down. And then postpartum. And I was really believing it's any kind of anxiety or depression. I will say that I look at the time, I certainly didn't feel like I had any kind of anxiety or depression. I look back and I do think I was anxious in a lot of ways, just with other people. But I've heard from most moms that that's like kind of normal for you to have that instinct of like, are you going to drop my baby? You know, kind of thing. We had a okay journey breastfeeding. I breastfed her for 14 months, which that was a huge thing for me. Because no one in my family had really breastfed. So I had to like talk to a few lactation consultants, and once they came and helped me, that was awesome. I think just next time around, what I'll believe for is just to be able to recover a little more quickly. It just took me a very, very long time to like feel like myself again. I'm a very routine and scheduled person. And then I thought, I don't know how to be on a routine at all with this tiny baby. So I've heard that the second time around, you kind of have to get in a routine quicker because you have a toddler to worry about. But overall, I mean, I really, I felt like it was fruitful. Again, I spent a lot of time with the Lord because I, you know, when you just have a tiny newborn, you're just kind of laying around recovering. We have a lot of family. So we had a lot of family by. And so I would say that would be like the only time I did have some like anxiety is when I felt like I had to host, you know, mm-hmm. when I was like, okay, well, my body's trying to recover. And also like I have this tiny baby. I'm not sure what to do with her. And yeah. So that made me a little anxious, but I honestly overall felt really, really good. I just, like I said, it took me a long time to feel like back in a routine, back in the swing of things. But, that was a huge thing I prayed about, was an easy breastfeeding journey and no postpartum anxiety or depression. And I didn't feel like that at all. So it was good. It felt fruitful.
That's good. And it's like when we have to give ourselves that grace, that time period, you know, right. for getting to know like our bodies and how to feed this child.
Right.
They're trying to get to know us like outside the womb and adjust to this new world.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can totally relate to that.
My midwife, it was so simple, but she said, Brittany, she doesn't know how to breastfeed either. You know, like she's learning too. She's learning how to eat and you're learning how to feed. So it's okay. And but I'm thankful that I was able to feed as long as I did. And that was, like I said, that was huge for me because I didn't really have anyone to lean on. And my pastor, of course, she's awesome, but she came over and helped me a lot because you just don't know what to, I mean, no one can really explain it to you until you have your baby with you, I think.
Yeah.
So anyways, but yeah, I had a pretty easy postpartum, thankfully.
Thank you, Lord. Are there any, I know you've mentioned a few and you can reiterate it. Are there any resources you would highly recommend to our listeners?
So spiritually speaking, I love Nerida Walker. She's on YouTube. She also has a book. I don't want to be too redundant because I know a lot of the same resources like your other moms have talked about in the podcast, but I cannot recommend her enough. If you're trying to conceive, or pregnant, and she teaches a lot outside of just, you know, pregnancy and childbirth as well. So definitely Nerida, and I read her book and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Supernatural Childbirth. So those were my two big books. But my husband and I actually, with my midwife, she teaches like a version of the Bradley method, which is like, you know, the husband coach childbirth. And that was so helpful for both of us because it's really educational to like birth, but also for my husband, it was so great. Like I really encourage like people to do it in person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, online classes are awesome, but I mean, if you have a husband, you know, with your husband being on board,
yes,
seeing 12 other husbands also doing it is so encouraging. And like, she did a lot of little activities with the husbands in the class and it was so cute, you know, like they were all just getting into it. And I met one of my now closest friends in our birth class, and we have the same midwife and everything. But anyway, so I really encourage like moms to take a class
mm-hmm.
on childbirth with your husband, because I have a lot of friends who, you know, their husband just wasn't involved in the process, and it was like me and my husband did the whole thing together, like beginning to end. He never sat down. I mean, he was probably, I don't want to say he was just as tired as I am, of course I'm the one that gave birth, but I mean, he never sat down. He was constantly doing counter pressure, constantly, you know, rubbing my arms, telling me I'm doing a good job, encouraging me like, you're doing really great, baby's almost here, things like that, you know. And it was, I mean, I couldn't have done it without him. There's just no way. So, and I think there's one other channel. She has a podcast. I listen to all of them. It's Kira.
Yeah. Kira Blazer.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And now I think she's moved into more of like family and parenting, but her YouTube and podcasts were great for me as well. So that was, hers aren't necessarily supernatural, but they're still like, I think they're so encouraging for Christian moms just to like have childbirth with the Lord involved. So she yes. was really good. I listened to her too.
Yeah, I highly recommend her. That's how I got on to where I'm at today.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And do you have any like more, so you mentioned the Bradley Method and like you said you educated yourself. Is there any other books like more on the learning about yes. your body and mm-hmm. you would have to?
I read the NMA's Guide to Childbirth and also the Bradley Method has a book if you don't take the class. We did both. I read the book, my husband read it, and we took the class. And then also Pain-Free Childbirth on yes. Instagram. She's awesome.
So good.
And she's in South Carolina, which is so cool to me. but she, I feel like she's doing a really awesome job of partnering both. So mm-hmm. and educating. And I think she has a course, which I didn't yes. take, but I'm sure it's awesome. But I followed her, gathered a lot of information from her. And honestly, I listen to a lot of, there's a podcast, Happy Home Birth, and I know not mm-hmm. every mom is planning a home birth, but I just feel like these podcasts helped me a lot to prepare myself of, like, the process of birth, if that yeah. makes sense. Like, I felt much more like, I mean, simple things like losing your mucus plug or having a bloody show. I mean, these are things I had never, ever heard of until I'm hearing other moms say it. Mm-hmm. So that helped me a lot to listen to other moms talk about their birth.
Yes, I agree. They have such good, like, it really is educational. I've listened mm-hmm. to that a few times before too. Before closing, is there any final thoughts that you have for our listeners today?
Yeah, one thing that just came to mind is just to be encouraging is something the Lord taught me for this whole process is, you know, your baby is good and your baby is a promise for me, but the prize is like Jesus, you know, like make him your first. And I think like sometimes because I did this for sure, like I'm definitely speaking out of place of like, I did this, but when I was trying to conceive, the only thing I thought about was conceiving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think when I changed my mindset to like focus, my focus is on the Lord and not my focus isn't on having a baby. Like that's the baby is a promise, you know, like mm-hmm. God made the provision for that. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He took the pain of childbirth. He took, you know, one thing Narada says is like he perfected his timing on the cross. Like his timing was already perfect. Like it's a provision for us to have a baby, but just focus like between conception, childbirth, and your birth of just like, if your focus is the Lord, everything else will come into line
yes.
with that, you know, and your focus being like the Word of God. Like there's not a ton of verses on, you know, childbirth in the Bible that like specific to childbirth, but there's a ton about fear and overcoming fear. And, you know, there's a ton about being at peace and there's a ton about, you know, that your body is healed and that God, you know, has already provided the way for you to have your baby and things like that. So I just wanted to encourage moms, like focus on him.
Amen.
In this process, you know, the baby is so good and God wants you to have your baby and like, it's God's will for you to, you know, have an easy childbirth, to have an easy pregnancy. But if that's your only focus, I think too, sometimes moms can come out of it on the other side and be like, okay, now what? You know, because they mm-hmm. spent 9+ months only thinking about that one thing. So I think even for me, like when I was even educating myself, like on a practical standpoint, I still like listen to podcasts just from other ministers. One of my favorite is Andrew Womack. I don't know if you've ever
yes. heard
of him. I listen to him
every day of my life, every single day of my life. Like I listen to one of his podcasts. And so, you know, so my life wasn't only about birth, you know, yeah. if that makes sense. Like
totally.
I'm still growing in my walk with the Lord. And it's, of course, I was growing a lot in other ways and becoming a mother and preparing for that and being pregnant and growing a life inside of me. But my main focus was
you know, growing closer to Jesus, period.
You know, that wisdom of seek first his kingdom and all things will be added unto you.
Amen. Amen. And babies are a blessing, you know, like it's all a blessing. God only asks, like, he gives us blessings and good things. So he wants us to have all those things, but they need to be like, he needs to be, like you said, seek first his kingdom.
That's so good. Cause like, I like how you said that, like, it's like, yes, the child is a promise. And when we have him in our arms, it's not supposed to be like, now what, you know, it's a continuing walk with him daily.
Right. And amen.
Just growing with him. Well, could you pray for our listeners before we leave today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word and that it bears fruit in our life. And I just thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share a testimony, because we overcome by the word of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so first, Father, I just want to speak to any women who are trying to conceive. And I just thank you, Father, that babies are a blessing, that God, that you said be fruitful and multiply, that you promised us in your word to that we could conceive. And so, Father, I speak to those bodies of the women who are trying to conceive a baby, and I say the perfect seed to hit the perfect egg in the perfect way, and we'll just conceive a beautiful, perfect baby, and that everything will line up by the word of God. And that, Father, even for those people that have been told they can't conceive, I just rebuke and reject that word, and I just speak your promise over them that, again, by your stripes they were healed. And whether that be no sperm count or low, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, the uterus isn't the way it should be or whatever, that all of those things, that Father, that you are miraculously and supernaturally healing them right now. There's a listener that is saying, well, my husband was told he can't conceive, and I just say in the name of Jesus that those, that everything would line up in his body, and everything would line up in mama's body to be able to conceive in Jesus' name. And so I just thank you for that, Father. And I also thank you for the women who maybe have experienced a miscarriage, that Father, that you would be their comfort and you would be their peace. And I just thank you, Father, that any mother listening to this that's experiencing fear, that in the name of Jesus we cast and rebuke fear and anxiety, and I just invite peace into her mind and into her home, and that peace would be written on the walls of her home, and that her and her husband would come into agreement and stand firm on the word of God, that there is, that you, they will not cast their young before its time. So I just thank you, Father, that your will is for babies to live a full and happy life in a full-term pregnancy in the womb, and they will not come before your time. So I just thank you, Father, I bind and rebuke any single mother who's been told that her baby was not going to make it. I bind and rebuke that, and I just thank you, Father, that the supernatural power of Jesus is coming into that situation. I just thank you again for just the fact that you died so that we can have peace, so that we can have a pain-free birth. And so I thank you, Father, for the mamas listening, that they can walk in peace, that whether their birth goes exactly as planned or nothing like it, that your peace still comes in like a flood, and that, God, that your will for us is good and it's perfect. And so I just thank you, Father, that right now we're partnering with your will and with your word, and that every mom will just be able to have their birth with you and well into motherhood, that you will come and walk with us, that, Father, that we can have supernatural childbirth, but we can have supernatural motherhood, we can have supernatural sleep, that we can have supernatural energy when we don't sleep, that we can have supernatural teething experiences, that babies don't have to be sick all the time, that everyone's saying right now that it's flu season and it's cold season, it's COVID season, that, Father, we just rebuke that and say that there is no COVID season in the word of God, and there's no season that babies constantly have to be sick. And so I thank you, Father, that even during our journey as mothers, that we are protectors of our home, and that there is no sickness or disease to enter our homes in Jesus' name. So I just thank you, Father, for all of these things that bring us into motherhood, that we are blessed, that the Bible says you will make us a joyful mother of children. So that today, and every day going forward, God, I just thank you that we can choose joy and choose joy in our pregnancy and joy in our childbirth and joy in our motherhood in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Oh, man, you got me going. So good. You need to hear that too, even in motherhood.
Yes, right.
Well, Brittany, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there a way for mothers to get in contact with you?
Oh, sure thing. I'm in the Facebook group, and also I am on Instagram. My Instagram handle is just my name, Brittany Price, but it's spelled with one T
because Brittany Price was already taken, so it's spelled a little bit different. But yeah, I would love, absolutely love to connect, and it really has become part of my ministry and even a little bit of my husband's to talk to expecting parents or people trying to conceive. We pray with a lot of people at our church, and so I love to moms who need encouragement.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brittany, for sharing your story today and being such a blessing and just encouraging and edifying us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. We pray Brittany's testimony of what God did in her first birth ministered to you, of what He can do in your birth. To check out all the resources that Brittany talked about, as well as how to connect with her on social media, you can find that in the show notes page. There you'll also find a clarification of the correct Instagram handle for Brittany. It's actually Brittany with two T's. And before you leave today, we want to set you off with God's word. It comes from John 14, 27. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous." Yes, be courageous, mamas. Receive His peace today. Not the peace of this world, but His perfect peace. Until next time, the Lord bless you and keep you.